Come on, Adolf, snap out of it. This is no time to be yawning.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I guess I didn't get enough sleep. These late parties take too much out of me. Personally, I think they're more bother than they're worth.
Why, dear, I thought that was a lovely party. Didn't you have a good time?
Frankly, I was bored to tears. I would much rather have spent the time talking to someone interesting than playing those silly games.
But, dear, those games were part of the arrangement our hostess had made for our entertainment. Don't forget that any party to be a success must be carefully planned.
Marie, what in your estimation constitutes a successful party in a home?
Well, dear, needless to say, it should be well planned, if that's what you mean.
No, I don't mean that at all. I mean, when the party is over and the guests are on the way home and they say to each other, what a pleasant evening, what a wonderful evening we had. What makes that?
Well, any number of things. It depends upon the individual that's saying it. If he happens to be someone who likes food and they've had a good dinner, maybe he'd consider that a good party. Or if it's someone who enjoys talking to people and there's been some very interesting people at the party, then that individual would think he'd had a lovely time because of that.
Well, don't
you... mean just generally speaking what the feeling is?
Yes, doesn't the hostess have anything to do with the running and operating of a party, seeing to it that all of these...
Course. Well, naturally, dear.
Yes, well, what are some of the rules or some of the things that should be watched in order to make a party successful?
Well, in the first place, dear, it depends upon the group that you're entertaining. If it happens to be 4 or 8 people or whatever the number happens to be of people that you know extremely well,
why,
I don't think that there is much of a problem. You all know each other well enough that you know what you are going to say and what you enjoy doing for entertainment. But if it's a mixed group of people that probably do not know each other very well, then I think it presents a little more of a problem, a little more thought. I do think that that it's wise for a hostess to have everything so very, very well planned and organized before her guests arrive that when they do arrive that she's not going to be one of those flustered females that is eternally darting in and out of the door to see that everything is running correctly. That makes everyone so nervous they want to go home, and
well,
not just me.
One of the things that annoys me at a party, now, naturally, if you are with people that you see quite often, one is accustomed to them and what they're likely to say, but let's take, for example, a party where you meet a person, a man whose life and experiences are of particular interest to you. Now, I like to get in a corner with a gentleman like that and talk, and the thing that annoys me is to have the hostess come up and shove a pad in my hand and a pencil in the other and say, now, we're going to play the game. We're going to play a game of something or charades. It infuriates me because if the party's going to be successful, naturally, it must be a little bit successful for me and a little bit successful for you, but there are some hostesses that cannot tolerate seeing 2 men together or 2 women together more than 5 minutes.
Well, now, wait a minute now. Let's go to that just a little bit more, because that's a pet peeve of mine, you see. I am very bored with the present-day sort of thing that's going on to most of the parties that we attend, where the men all congregate at one end of the room, or in one room, and the women are all together in another part of the house. I think that is ridiculous. I think that the lack of courtesy in the first place absolutely is shocking to me, and I am bored to death. If I want to talk to women, I'll give a luncheon, and I'll have all the women with me. But when I go to a party, I think that the gentlemen present should make the supreme effort, if it is a supreme effort, to entertain the ladies. I don't think they should go off with some entertaining gentleman in the corner and sit for hours on end. I'm thoroughly against that.
Well, basically, then, the hostess's main and most important problem is to choose people whom she thinks will be congenial and interesting to each other.
Well, she tries to do that, of course.
Yes, and if she does try to break up a group, to do it unobtrusively.
Oh, there are moments when I have been so grateful when I've seen a hostess coming in my direction, particularly if I have been stuck in a corner with, whether it's a male or female, for hours on end hearing some very dull conversation. I am so grateful when she comes and makes the break, because you can't get up and leave the person.
Well, you see, there are all kinds of parties. There's a party where you have the lion of the evening, who may be an explorer, let's say, and whose talk is of such interest that everyone will sit around and not do anything.
Oh, then, that's perfect. That's
then
wonderful.
There are larger parties where the evening is a complete bore until most of the people have left, and then the party really takes on, you see.
Yes, that's very true.
A few congenial souls will sit around and imbibe the punch. Whatever it can be, which stimulates the party, and then it becomes, and you meet them the next day and say, oh, you left much too soon, you should have stayed, why, it was terrific, we danced and we did this and that, and so-and-so played and so-and-so sang. There's that kind of a party. But what I asked you originally was, what would a hostess do to make the evening a success for everybody?
First, she should know her guests intimately. I mean that if it's that sort of a party, she should know them and know the things they like to do. Now, you don't like to play games, but nevertheless, we have been to some very, very successful parties where the games that you detest so have been played and are quite amusing.
Why do you say that I don't like games?
You don't.
That isn't the point. I do like the games on certain times, but I don't like to be torn away from a conversation that I'm thoroughly enjoying to play the game when I don't want to play it.
Ah, yes, dear, but then you're being very selfish. You are not being kind to your hostess. If she has planned the evening, it is up to you if you are going to be the perfect guest to fall in line with whatever she has planned and at least try to look as though you're enjoying yourself.
Oh,
you see? That's up to the guest. There's nothing worse than a very sort of disgruntled guest who wants to do it his way or her way, you see.
Well, dear, we've talked so much about how people can have successful parties. The next one we throw, let's make it a real wing-ding.
A real what?
A real smash wing-ding. We can't afford to take a chance on having the party a flopperoo.
Aren't you feeling well, dear? What kind of talk is that?
Well, I guess you'd call it slang, but I like it. Sort of expressive, don't you think?
Well, it certainly is. I guess we have to accept slang as part of the language. Do you know any more quaint expressions?
Why, glamour puss, I got millions of them. Dig me a little later on the subject after we get a load of gum beaten from a hep kid who's standing by with a solid spiel.
Well, Alof, I suppose slang is important in keeping a language alive. What we call slang today may well become part of our accepted speech tomorrow.
Well, dear, they're still using expressions today which I remember when I was a boy. The word hep, for instance, is he hep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they've got it today, hep cat, which I'm not too sure of the meaning because... The slang, we must explain exactly what it means.
What do you mean by slang?
Well, dear, it's an exaggeration of a word to make the language a little bit more exciting. That's one way of explaining it. Another way of explaining it is that it is another language to hide from elders what the young people want to talk about.
Ah, yes, that's what I think it really is.
Well, that's one way. Mm-hmm. Now, every profession, every trade has its own expressions, which I don't know whether they should be called slang. Let's take the picture business, for example. You have a motion picture cameraman or a motion picture director will say, kill that baby. Well, that means put out that small spotlight. A baby spotlight being to differentiate from a larger spotlight. There's even a little teeny one, I think they call a cockalorus.
Where in the world do they get that name?
Well, dear, I don't know where they get them from. Those are trade names. Every profession, the underworld, has some of the most picturesque slang. And not only that, but all nations of the world, I believe, have this slang. I know that France does. I know the Germans had very, very interesting slang, but one has to trace the origin to find out how witty and how expert and apt it is, you see. Unless you know the language awfully well, you don't know the reasons why the words were employed. And slang does not last very long. Take, for example, some of the words that... I'll give you... just listen to this for a moment. Listen to these words. Scram. Beat it. Get lost. Take a powder. Shove off, blow. All of those words mean to get out. You know.
They're very expressive.
Where do they come from? Now, shove off, I imagine, comes from the steamship business, where you took a pole and you shoved off from the pier. That means, you know. Scram, I don't know where that comes from. Years ago, we used to say, there's an egg on your foot, beat it. That means get out.
I can't remember slang. Isn't that awful? I know what they're using today, because I must say that I hear a little bit of it now. They used to say, you know, go jump in the lake. Well,
yes.
That's awful. That's very old time. You don't do that now. And even the one drop dead, which I thought was pretty horrible, but very, very effective. Well, now that's been changed. Now there's something called DDT, which is drop dead twice.
Oh?
And that isn't even half as bad as the next one, which I can barely get out, but I shall try. Fall fatally flat 5 times in your fat face. Now, you know that's the end.
Well, I don't think that that's very good, and I don't think that will last very long because it takes too long to say it. It's not very expressive and doesn't express the meaning that one wants.
Oh, but it does for the high school kids, and that's really the ones that use it, you see. They want to have a language all their own so that the grown-ups won't understand it.
High school kids, they're not the only ones that have slang that use it. The underworld uses it almost exclusively.
Well, dear, I wouldn't know about the underworld, but you know, some of the expressions some of the expressions we use today really date back. For example, racket was used as far back as 1785, and hush money came from about 1760. And another one, chiseler, which we use all the time, I think, more or less accepted word, 1790. Now, you know, I didn't realize that they were as far back as that.
Were they used at that time as slang?
Well, they were made up words to express something. They must have been.
Where did the expression come from, for instance, your father's mustache?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you're that particular type.
I don't know.
Now then, the hobos have one, bindle stiff.
What
now,
is
that's
that?
Real slang.
What
bindle
is
stiff is a hobo that carries His bedding with him.
Oh.
Over his shoulder.
Mm, that's wonderful.
On a stick, a bindle stiff. Then the Salvation Army is called the Sally Ann. And the railroad business, of course, the conductor's called the captain. But that's not too witty.
Naturally, no, I don't think that's
call
music.
Him chief or captain.
Where did the expression come from? No matter how thin you slice it, it's still baloney.
Well, I don't know. Some of the cartoonists.
That's a good one.
Some of the radio comedians, they spread it, motion pictures. Other nations are likely to pick up our slang and speak our own language. It's very amusing to hear an Englishman. I had a necktie on in London, which I was thought was very cute. And one man said to me, "My, that's a smasher." Well, that isn't quite as slang as it is an exaggeration of a word. See?
Well, of course, some of the words that the children use today are really not slang, but they'll use them to death, like the word keen. For a long time, you know, the little boy, everything was keen, you know?
Well, I certainly wish I could think of the proper words to use right about here.
What do you mean, dear?
Well, I mean a nice slangy way to say goodbye.
Oh, I think we've had enough slang to last us quite a while. I'd much prefer to simply say, "This is Marie Teasdale Manjou speaking from Beverly Hills."
And this is Adolphe Manjou thanking you for inviting us into your home. May we call again soon?